Lord Jesus, we praise you. Amen. We do. We are so thankful to you, Lord. So thankful that it's been given to us to understand and that we can continue to get understanding. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us hearts that desire to get understanding, more and more understanding. Remember from 2 Peter, 1st chapter, 9th verse, Peter says, those who don't grow in these blessings are blind and they can't see clearly what they have. They've forgotten that they were cleansed from their past sins. And he was referring to, you have these blessings. Because you have these blessings, do all, verse 5, that you can to add to your life these things. To your faith, add goodness. To your goodness, add knowledge. To your knowledge, add self-control. To your self-control, add patience. To your patience, add devotion to God. To your devotion, add kindness towards your brothers and sisters in Christ. And to this kindness, add love. And if these things are in you and growing, you will never fail to be useful to God. I want to be useful to God. I want to be useful to God right here, especially. I mean, because the Bible says that I'll be more strictly and deeply judged if I am doing this, but I want to be useful to God everywhere that I am. I want to be useful to God at the grocery store and at the post office and at the mall and driving down the road. I want to be useful to God when I have opportunity for road rage to bless and curse not. I want to be useful to God. You know, I mean, we need to understand that being useful to God is not just coming into church. It's not just reading our Bible. It's not just praying. It's being prepared at all times. Yesterday I was praying. I was at the women's prison yesterday, and I was praying about the loving God, and I was saying to God that, you know, I want to love you better, Lord. I want to love you better. I want to love Him more completely. And as I was saying, I want to love you better, I kept knowing about these other verses. These other verses that say, as you've done it to the one of least of these other ones, you've done it unto me. And so I'm saying to the Lord, Lord, does my love for you have to be tied to my love for others? I mean, I can love you real good, Lord. I never get angry with you, Lord. I never doubt you, Lord. I never blame you. I mean, I just don't. I wouldn't even consider it. I just know that He's so good. And the whole time I'm saying this, I'm knowing that He's saying yes. But it's tied. It's tied. Now, does God subtract the love that I'm giving Him is there some sort of a quotient, some sort of a formula by where He subtracts from my love for Him? Because I don't know. I think He separates the two, but I believe that what He was saying to me was, as you know, I know you want to love me more. I know you want to love me better. So you can add to your love. Okay, fine, Lord. We'll work on that. He never gave me a clear answer. He never said, thus saith the Lord. I'm always glad that He doesn't do that, because if He said that, then I would have to have an answer. And I don't have all the answers, and it doesn't really bother me whether I have all the answers or not. I answer to Him. But I do know that there was a very real sense that the answer to what I wanted to do was right there. And so I pray, God, help me to love everyone better. You know, we have a tendency, we know when people are just, you know, they're just deceived, and we can have compassion for people that are just deceived. But we have to understand that everybody's a little deceived. But we sometimes have an idea of who we should have compassion with, because we figure they should know better, and because they don't know better, then we're not going to have that compassion. And, well, God doesn't give us that latitude in things. He said, just do this. Last week, as we were looking at keeping at it, the importance of keeping at it, you know, I had a young man who I had in chapel, and he was the only one in chapel, so we sort of had a personal visit message and the whole works, and he came in, and I could see that his day was not going great, and he had been pretty bright and shining, and he had sort of reasons that would be justifiable reasons, except for the fact that God brought him a message that said, keep at it. And he wrote to me this week, and he said those three words changed everything. Because, you see, he was open to receiving that king. He was open to realizing that the best way for him to overcome those things that were coming against him were to keep at it. Keep at that seeking to do as it says in 2 Peter. Just keep adding. Add. And to realize that, as Peter said, if they don't grow in these blessings, they're blind. And they can't see clearly what they have, and they've forgotten that they were cleansed from their past sins. We can always go back. Remember, Jesus took the disciples back, and he said, hey, don't just rejoice that the demons are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Stay with your foundation. We always have something to rejoice about. Always. And we can get so deep in our faith and our knowledge of God that we forget to be thankful we're forgiven. But we should be thankful every day that we're forgiven, because pretty good possibility that we're forgiven every day. That there's something that we need to be forgiven for. And so when we begin to look, we can add. You see, I can add that little morsel to my knowledge. Roger, you're forgiven every day. The Bible says you're forgiven once for all, and yet we know that Jesus said, when you pray, pray this, forgive us our trespasses. Maybe he expanded on that and it didn't get written down, that said, you know, keep yourself covered. Never forget how fortunate you are. Never cease to praise. Never cease to give glory. As we also looked at what role people play in the Christmas story, the Christmas account, as to whether we are wise men seeking and seeking. But you know what? After they'd sought him, they turned around and went home. We don't know what happened after that. Did they find him and then go home and try to find some other new thing to find out? Or did they go home and then research what the meaning was of this child that was born in that star? Did they become wise evangelists in their area saying, we saw the Savior of the world. We saw him. He was a baby when we saw him, but we know he's grown up into something. We don't know about that. And so we acknowledge that we may play the role of a wise man sometimes. A wise man who, yes, we sought it out. Yes, we found that. We knew there had to be something, and then we found that something and went home. And now we found it, and that's all we need. But it's not all we need. We need to add and add and add and add and add. And the reason that people don't add is because they're blind, because they don't see what they have. Remember? That's why we want to be ultimate tour guides. That's why we want to be able to reveal truth to people. That's why we want to know what's in the kingdom, so that we can reveal what is in the kingdom to others. Because we have added and added and added, and we've got this, and we've got this treasure in earthen vessels, and we can't contain this treasure. That this treasure is running out and overflowing. Or overflowing and running out. That we truly do see him as a treasure. Do we see him as a treasure? Those wise men, even, you know, they even brought gifts to him. And when you think about it, they left them. They didn't say, oh, we expected to see more. And they also heard from angels. Angels told them, you know, don't go back and tell the king, because the king wants to kill them. And we have to, from time to time, sadly acknowledge that we might kill the truth in our own lives. We might quench the spirit. We might prefer the lie because it's more convenient. Because anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is a lie, even if it's very carefully a justification of it. Even if it's just agreeing with someone else when they've actually misexpress the truth, because it's more convenient and it's more comfortable. Well, as I said in the devotion, I was reading, and I read this statement, and apparently I must have been at that point where maybe I was about to go to sleep. I don't know, but when I first read that statement that said, "Position yourself and behold the glory of God," I read, "Poison yourself." Yeah. I thought, well, this is a little out of context here. And so then I went back and I read it again. And as I read it again, I very, very clearly sensed in my spirit that we can do one or the other. We can position ourselves or poison ourselves. That we can position ourselves to behold the glory of God. We can position ourselves to receive the promises of God. Or we can poison ourselves and move ourselves out of what God has for us. To declare that which is not what the Word of God says is to poison ourselves. Because we are to always acknowledge the truth above the lie. Now we may hear the lie, we may consider the lie, but we don't want to declare the lie. We want to allow the truth to override the lie. And so that may require positioning from time to time. We can hear someone say, "The truth is, by His stripes you were healed." And we can say, "By His stripes, I am healed." Or we can poison ourselves and say, "But I feel sick." Now, I know that we might think, well, that's just kind of manipulating words, but it's better, there's a better way to say it than "I feel sick." We could say, "I don't feel as good as I am." But you know, because if we poison ourselves, then what we do is we just allow that poison to take us more and more and more and more and more. That's why one person might wake up in the morning with a little nausea and poison themselves into being flat on their back for weeks. And another person might wake up with a little nausea and say, "I must need some water. Because by His stripes I am healed." One person might, you know, just be throwing up, unable to stand, sick, and poison themselves into dying. And another person might yell into the toilet, "By His stripes I am healed." Which one's going to survive the quickest? You see, and these are things that we have to keep adding to get there. But we need to understand that we either position ourselves or we poison ourselves. The angels came and made the declaration to the shepherds. And the shepherds weren't even looking for a message. God just said, "Tell them." It doesn't say they were in the middle of a prayer meeting when the angels came. They were out watching their sheep. By the middle of the night, I think their enthusiasm was not much for watching sheep, because the sheep were supposed to be quiet and laying down.
But here comes a multitude of angels, and they make this declaration, and those shepherds had the opportunity to poison themselves or position themselves. They could have poisoned themselves and said, that was crazy, and sat right back down to their sheep. But they positioned themselves and they said, let's go check this out. The innkeepers, they had an opportunity. I mean, they didn't, the innkeepers that turned them away, they didn't have anything against Jesus, but they didn't position themselves for the blessing. They just went on about their way. We can poison ourselves by just going on about our way. By just not following that lead of the Holy Spirit, by just not being, you know, susceptible. Here's the deal. When it comes to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I would rather make a mistake, err, following a thought that was my own, if it was going to glorify God anyway, than make the error by resisting the Holy Spirit. I would rather say, eh, that might be God, I'm going to do it, than say, I don't know, that doesn't sound like God, and I don't really have time right now, and I'm already outside the store, and I'm already doing this, or I'm already doing that, or, you know. We can position ourselves for the blessing and for the increase of the presence of God in our lives, or we can poison ourselves and shut it out. And we have to be able to recognize that. We need to be able to recognize, did I just position myself or did I poison myself? Growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ involves that. Whatever thing God happens to give us, someone else might have a different way that comes into their heart. Some other pastor may have a different revelation that they share with other people, but me, this is what the Lord put in my heart. You can position yourself or you can poison yourself. We know about Pharaoh. Pharaoh poisoned himself and poisoned himself and poisoned himself. Herod poisoned himself and poisoned himself. When they all had an opportunity to position themselves. We always have opportunities to position ourselves. And here's the deal. If we're in the right position, we might help somebody else to position themselves. Because we can position or we can poison people. And we may poison people thinking that we're doing them a favor. My folks at jail, sometimes I'll visit with them and they'll tell me, you know, that they sort of have odd against somebody else that came in because this somebody else that came in just looks down on them, makes them feel terrible and this and that and the other thing. And I said, well, you know, they may just not understand. They may think that by making you feel terrible about yourself that they're helping you. But the truth is that they're poisoning them. Jesus Christ is the blessed hope. He's the Prince of Peace. And so we are always in the right spot and we are always in the right position when we are releasing who He is and what He is. And allowing Him to transform the lives of others. But if we're not in the right position, then we may be poisoned. And if we are poisoned, we may just go ahead and spread that poison. I don't want to be poisoned, and I certainly don't want to be poisoning. I want the words that we have are words of life. Unto you, the angel said, unto you is born in David's town a Savior. He's Christ the Lord. He was alive, he died, and he's alive again. He is Lord. He is Lord. And like the shepherds, we should go our way rejoicing whenever we consider that He is Lord. And when should we consider that He is Lord? All the time. Because there is not one circumstance, there is not one situation where He is not bigger than it. Not one. There's not one that He cannot do something about. And if we think any other way, we poison ourselves. That's why God says, consider your ways. Consider, are you helping or hurting? In your faith and patience, you receive the promise. And so we are people who have received the promise. The promise is a package deal. Jesus Christ is the promise. He said, when you break that bread and you eat that bread, you're partaking of the promise. When you take that cup of the new and better covenant, you're taking that promise. And then it's up to you, and it's up to me, to continue to believe the promise. To believe the truth. This Christmas season is not just a season of nice stories about a little baby that was born. It said your Savior was born. The Savior of the world. The Savior of everybody. And nothing can separate anybody from the love of God. Life can't, death can't, powers can't, principalities can't. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You can choose to go to hell. You can't get away from His love. If I go to hell, there you are. Still loving. Still loving. Still caring. He just loves that much. That's a God. That's a King. That's a life to desire. To position ourselves. To receive not only salvation, but the Savior. The person. The Prince. And so when Scripture says, we can even rejoice in trials. Because in the rejoicing in the trials, not for the trials, but in the trials, when we see ourselves rejoicing in the trials and we see ourselves overcoming by rejoicing in the trials, that's a big boost to our faith. When we can give God praise and give God glory and give God honor no matter what, we have to look at ourselves and say, wow, that's got to be God. It has to be God. I couldn't do that myself. That has to be God. That means God's growing up in me. Wow! That's another reason to praise the Lord. And to just keep at it. And when we do that, we position ourselves for more of God. Because that's what we need, is just more of God. Because He said, you know, just seek first the Lord and the kingdom of righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. All the other things won't be any good without Him. But with Him, all the other things will just be there. And there's nothing wrong with the things of God. The things of God are great things of God. And those things of God position us, put us in a position, so that we have something give. More love, more power, more of You in my life, Lord. If how well I love God must be tied to how well I love others, then I must love others better. I must not make excuses. I must not rationalize. I must do that. Because if revelation comes from God, and I believe that it does, if I fail to do that, then I'm poisoning myself instead of positioning myself. And I don't want to poison myself. And I want to please God. No matter how much it's uncomfortable to come to revelations that say, oh, good, let's go to this level. I can't say I was just kidding. I can't just say, let's back up the tape. I want to go to that one in 10 more years. Because to do that would be to poison myself. But if God, in His infinite wisdom, feels that I can move into that place, then I will position myself there and trust Him to show me. Knowing very well that there will be painful moments in it. Hoping that there won't be. Hoping that from this moment forth, it all will be perfect. Not wanting to use the rationalization of the what we say is that there's only one that's perfect, and that's Christ. But being willing to position myself, being willing to position ourselves to be perfected. Wake up. Wrong number. What do we want to do? We want to position ourselves or poison ourselves? Shepherds or the king? What do we want? It's a good time of the year to decide what we want. Isn't it? We've been being asked that question, we ask that question of others. What do you want for Christmas? Well, I have something to want. More of Him. Now that sounds cliche. Unless we mean it. But let it be true in our lives. Let it be the determination of our hearts to position ourselves, to stand still, to behold the glory of God, to fear not, because He is with us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. One could say that you really went out on a limb with the investment that you made in order to save the world. I pray, Lord, that in my life and in the lives of each one of these, that investment would just continue to pay dividends and dividends and dividends. I pray, Lord, that we would become positioning satellites, always, always aware of the position that You would have us be in. Always, always open to the signal to properly position us. And always aware of the wrong signals. Quick to recognize poison. And to get the poison out. To see You more clearly. Love You more dearly and follow You more nearly, moment by moment of every single day. And we thank You, Lord, because we know that when we pray, You hear us. And if we know that You hear us, then we know that we have those things that we've asked. Thank You, Lord, for building us up in the Holy Spirit. Amen.